This show is brought to you by Top Deck Gamers and MTG Deck Builder for all your one-stop Magic the Gathering needs. If you're looking to buy cards, please visit us at www.topdeckgamers.com. And if you want to test out and build your Magic the Gathering decks, please visit us at www.mtgdeckbuilder.net. If you have any feedback for the show, please email fantasyfootballgeeks@gmail.com. That is geeks, G-E-E-X.
La música de Harry Fry.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Everyday People podcast show brought to you by the Flores and Division Podcast Network. What is Everyday People? It is a personal journal, an audio journal of some motivation, some inspiration, interesting individuals that I've met throughout my entire life, sharing their stories, the ups, the downs, mostly the ups usually. And just hopefully to keep you entertained as you're on your way to work, if you're on the treadmill, if you're taking a walk around the block, if you're running around the block, if you're hustling, if you're doing whatever you're doing, hopefully this podcast gives you a little inspiration to continue doing what you're doing if it's making you happy. And if it's not making you happy, question what does make you happy. If you're an 8-to-5 person, you're an everyday people. If you're an unemployed person, you're an everyday people. If you're someone who is breathing, living, and whatever you want to call it, you can be an everyday person, everyday people. Welcome. So we definitely don't hold anybody back, unless you're extremely lame, which I find a lot of. Anyway, whatever. So welcome to Everyday People, guys. This is episode number 3. I had a great week. Very busy week, to be honest with you. Observed a lot of interesting behaviors. Observed a lot of interesting true colors. And at that point, you make that determination. Who do you want in your life and who you don't want in your life? And of course, that's all in our control. But that was last week's session. This week's session, I want to focus a little bit on today. You know, this week's word, I was going back and forth on what word I wanted to choose this week. And I think the word I wanted to choose is the word selfish, often used in a negative format. I want to spin that word. I want to turn it around. I want to use it in a positive fashion. A lot of times, you know, in our life, you know, for most of us, what we do is we put other individuals ahead of us. Maybe me, not so much as some of the other people I know in my life. However, I am aware of individuals that do put others in front of them, and sometimes we forget about ourselves. And for that, those individuals and for those people, I really want to tell you, you know, it's okay to be selfish. And you know, we forget about ourselves a lot in doing for others. And a lot of the times when we look around to see who's there for us, it's really no one, you know, because if you're a giver, you find yourself giving and receiving very little. And, you know, I think most people's intentions don't give to receive. But I think in time, you end up wearing thin. You end up asking yourself if all the giving is worth it at the end of the day. And you start to feel you start to wonder if you're appreciated. I mean, I can never say that I've been in that situation, to be perfectly honest with you guys. But I know people that, you know, I've been on the other side of that, and I know people who've come to me and told me situations in which they've gave so much and received very little. So I want to challenge everybody this week to be a little more selfish with themselves around making yourself better. You know, you do so much for others and you give so much to others, but I want you to focus on yourself and make yourself better, whether it be health, whether it be mental, whether it just be something that's, you know, beyond, you know, what I just described, whether it's just making yourself feel better. It's about being selfish this week. So one thing I'll tell you guys that I do pretty often, and for those who know me, know I'm pretty set in my schedule, and I don't like, you know, curveballs. And if they're curveballs, I like to create my own curveballs. But in this particular instance, or this example, you know, I have a very strict regimen when I get up in the morning and whatnot. And it's a real easy philosophy. It's do at least one or two, maybe even three things before you do something for someone else. And in my particular example that I'll share with you, you know, I'll wake up before I even check my phone, before I even check email, before I even sign on. I'll get my workout in, I'll read, and I'll prepare breakfast. And for me, those are three things that are directed strictly for me, and no one else, you know, reaps the benefits. Well, eventually throughout the day, people do reap the benefits because I'm in a happier place because of working out and eating better and educating and reading my mind, you know, getting my mind, getting my knowledge. But those are the kind of things I'm talking about. You know, think about when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? If you're like most people, you check your phone. You see what text messages you miss. You see what emails you've missed. You see what voicemails you've missed. Or you get up, and the moment you get up, it's time to wake up the kids, or it's time to get up and go to work. You know, you're already doing something for someone else immediately after waking up. So my challenge to you this week is to think of one thing this week, one thing that you want to do for yourself. And if that means waking up 30 minutes earlier, then that's what it's going to take, because ultimately you have to start making these sacrifices. If you want to start applying these positive behaviors, you have to make that decision. And I get it. Trust me. I understand 100%. It feels good to get that extra 30 minutes, right? It feels great to wake up, have that extra 30 minutes, but you're rushing and you're pushing it to the limit. Like if you're most people, you're pushing it to the limit and you're really rushing into your day. I give you the opportunity to think about if you just got up 30 minutes earlier, you could fill up that 30 minutes with something, you know. And the first thing I would tell you guys, to be perfectly honest with you, probably the biggest fulfillment that I received in this kind of practice as I've went through is read. Find a book that interests you, find a topic that interests you, and just read. Give yourself maybe a chapter a day, maybe 10 pages a day, just to fill up that 30 minutes. And observe how your mind starts working. Observe how your mind starts going into solution and thinking mode. Observe of how the little things that used to annoy you, you know, your child not getting up, or, you know, the traffic on the way to work, or the stress of not finding a job again, you know, that job hunting, you know, think about that. And I guarantee you're going to be in a different place. You'll be a little bit more patient. You'll be a little more calm, and you'll be a little more understanding in how this is a weird situation we're in with this universe and how we can't figure everything out. But the more energy and the more effort you put into yourself, the more you're going to be open to receiving positive information. So find a book, find a topic. I don't know if you're into cooking, if you're into nutrition, if you're into fiction, if you're into mystery, whatever you're into, whatever, you know, mentally stimulates you. You know what it is. I can't tell you. And go to Barnes & Noble's, go to Amazon, go to Half Price Books. It doesn't matter where you go. Find a book that deals with that subject, but discipline yourself. Give yourself 30 minutes of uninterrupted time. If it means getting up 30 minutes earlier, then do it. The moment you start seeing all the information that's coming in, I guarantee you it will make total sense. And that 30 minutes becomes an hour, and that hour becomes an hour and a half, and that hour and a half becomes 2 hours. I get up about 3 to 4 hours before I even have to go and get ready for work. And just doing things. And that's, like I said, it's working out, it's reading, it's preparing a good breakfast. It really gets my day going. Now, you are going to have to go to sleep earlier. That's kind of the way it works usually in order to get enough sleep. But I, you know, get it on the backside then, you know, take the opportunity to go to sleep earlier in order to wake up earlier. But I guarantee you, as it relates to being selfish, our original topic, this is a great, perfect example of how you can do for yourself before you do for anyone else. So at the end of the day, when you start thinking about everything you did, you can go to bed knowing you gave something to yourself to get just a little bit more fulfillment, and ultimately, hopefully, make yourself a little bit better today than you were yesterday, because that's our goal, right? Let's be better today than we were yesterday. Let's be better this week than we were last week, and so on and so forth. So this week's show, you know, he's a buddy of mine that I've probably known for over, I'd say about 6 years now, Mr. 2411, Norman Gadsden, Springfield, Massachusetts transplant down here. You know, we've met each other through mutual friends, you know, very similar visions, very similar ideas, very similar approaches into life. He's well-traveled, you know, he's traveled so many places with work, with personal. He's a well-read guy. He's an intellectual guy, and always chopping it up with him is always a great thing, because there's always good conversation with him. So we're going to go into this interview. The song we're going to play is something from one of a group that he has always been loyal to, and that is the Clips. We're going to play a quick clip from the Clips. I'm going to play the Pusha T's verse from Fred the Godson's Doves Fly mix, Doves Fly track off of his mixtape. I think I'm going to play that verse, a portion of it, so that way you guys get a flavor. We'll go to Norm, we'll talk to him for a little bit, and then what we'll do is we'll get some plugs at the end of the show. But for now, enjoy the interview. I had a great time with him. We chopped it up actually afterwards, after the interview, and had a great conversation just about theories and just about, you know, life's greatest questions. So I hope you guys enjoy it. I enjoyed conducting it. So you can reach us at any time. You guys know that. At Floresdivision, it's FloresDivision via Twitter. Send us your feedback, comments, and concerns. So let's go to the track. Here we go. Pusha T, Fred the Godson, Doves Fly. This is what it sounds like when doves fly. Tell him rock a vibe, baby, like a lullaby. Watch a prince turn a king like when doves cry. Purple rain almost had me in the mugshot. Purple tops, I was selling out my drug spot. One stop shop had a special knock knock. We stepped on every square, shit was hopscotch. We was young, we ain't care, we made the block hot. The first Benz I ever bought was from a chop shop. Had a different VIN, shit was different then. BBS is on the bitch, gave it a different spin. Welcome back to Everyday People Episode 3. I'm joined by my very special guest. His voice is going to sound very, very familiar. He was with us recently, I believe, on Episode 23 of the Let Me Guess podcast show. If you want to listen to that episode, feel free to download that episode at letmeguesspodcast.podomatic.com. Mr. 2411 has rejoined me.
Yes, sir. What's going on, Tornado Money?
The same old, you know, different format. You know, we were talking about this offline that, you know, if there were no rules, we could talk about The Wire for about 3 to 4 hours.
Oh, yeah, we could do that for weeks.
But what I wanted to do is, you know, the process of this show and at least the theme of it is a little bit more around everyday experiences and everyday people that I've met that have piqued my interest as it relates to kind of what they've gone through their life, different experiences, whether it be professionally or personally. And, you know, one of the things that really stood out to me, you know, we've talked for quite some time and, you know, I didn't know the full details and I'm really interested to know, you know, one, let's talk a little bit about your background, you know, where you grew up.
Yep.
And then I want to kind of fast forward and talk a little bit about, you know, when you went to the Senegal and yeah. those experiences. So tell the people out there who didn't listen to you on Let Me Guess a little bit about where you're from, you know, okay. and all that good stuff.
Grew up in Springfield, Massachusetts. Made my way to Texas some years ago, joined the military out of high school. Ended up in San Antonio. I spent a lot of time here while I was in the military. And then from there,
let me ask you, what's the vibe coming up in Springfield, Mass? What was the?
It's definitely a. I live 2 hours from New York City, so it's heavily influenced by New York City. The only thing that was kind of weird, which you would think is an East Coast city, also had a big West Coast influence. Believe it or not, like N.W.A.
And really, really,
a lot of Tupac. But I would say style wise, was definitely a New York City type of vibe to it.
We were talking about our AVs.
Yeah, we see that Instagram, like, you know, Avirex jackets back in, you know, the mid-90s.
Right,
and, you know, Timberland, construction joints, you know, like, right. Mob Deep, Wu-Tang. So, right. I mean, it was influenced heavily by New York City because it was so close. But also in Massachusetts, Adidas. If you ever hear it, you ever see anybody from Boston or Massachusetts, they say, throw the threes up. And that's what they're referencing, the three stripes. So
I thought they were talking about a Hangman three.
No. The whole three was it's three stripes. It's called your three stripe killer. That's basically
okay.
me. So
okay.
Adidas is heavy in Massachusetts. Like that's our sneaker. You know what I'm saying? So
let me ask you, what brought you from Spring Mass on the east down to San Antonio?
Oh, military, man. Got out of high school. We everyday people. We have an everyday conversation. I didn't join the military to go to school. I didn't join the military to serve my country. I joined the military because I was 17, graduated high school, I was 17, and my mother said, you either going to school or you're getting out of my house. And I wasn't ready to go to school, so the Air Force became the way to get out her house. So that's how I ended up in right. the Air Force, and it was the best move of my life, though, man. It opened up so many doors for me. So
you think that experience as a young man kind of going into becoming a kind of an older man, mm-hmm. do you think the military experience humbles you and actually trains you to become a man through
Oh, yeah, and people have this misconception. Like, they think the military is this hard, rigid. Like, the Air Force, anyways. The other branch is a little different. But the Air Force, it's corporate America, man. You got to get up on your own, do your job on your own. Nobody's taking care of you. Like, yeah, certain things provided for you. But, I mean, you got to get it yourself. Like, it's not going to be handed to you. But it just made me grow up, made me appreciate things. And the biggest thing out of everything, I got to meet people from all over the place. Like, I grew up in Massachusetts, so we had a certain way of doing business. When I came to San Antonio, this is pre-internet, too. The internet wasn't that big.
Right.
Not that old, but it wasn't that big. Like, I didn't know what San Antonio was. I thought it was, what's that called? Like, the dust.
Tumbleweeds.
Know, tumbleweeds and spurs on the back of the boots. And this is a true story. Like, all I knew about Texas was what I seen on the TV show Dallas and Scarface videos in H-Town. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
So it just opened my mind to like, oh wow, I'm in the 7th, 8th largest city. Like, it's going down out here. So it was cool, man. The military was a great move, man. I wish I got out a little bit sooner, but that's for other reasons, basically. Right. Like, I did what I had to do in enough time that I could have got out sooner and started pursuing other things I wanted to do.
So how long were you in San Antonio?
Oh, man. How long have I been in San Antonio? I've been in San Antonio off and on for about a total of 11 years, but I left for a couple years.
Okay.
Left for about 3 years and then came back.
So. Is it Florida?
Yeah, I went to Florida and then went to Africa. Yeah. For about 7-8 months.
And you know, that's what I want to spend the majority of our conversation on, is about the Africa trip. You know, how did that whole thing come about?
All right, I'm gonna tell you how it came about. One of my buddies I met in San Antonio, one of my young boys out here, rap, whatever, he took a job over there a few years back, and he was actually in Madagascar. And he was telling me, like, I was like, man, you bugging. Like, what, you in Africa? And I know the guy, like, he's from Atlanta, he's a hood cat instead of third. He was just telling me, like, yo, it's straight. Like, he had a good time. And so the opportunity came up. I got out the military. It was some good money. I definitely would say the money, you know, the money was the motive.
Right.
But I had a job opportunity, basically, to go out there, to live out there. And it wasn't anything military related. Like, you know, I was living in the city. I was living in Dakar, Senegal, around the way. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. And it was an experience, man. Like, it was definitely an experience and something that I'll never forget. You know, it was no regrets about going over there.
So basically, walk me through the first day. You land, down.
I'll tell you, this is how I go. I flew from Paris. Well, I flew from here to Paris, stayed overnight there. Then we flew to Paris down to Dakar. Now, I had a guy that I had with the trainer with that was already there. He got there maybe 3 weeks before me. So he met me at the airport. It was like 11 o'clock at night, but flying like 20 hours. So I went to sleep and I went immediately to work. And I remember we walked to work and it was just like stray dogs. Like, it was slums. And I was like, yo. And this is what I didn't know. It was this area walking through at 6 in the morning. I had slept for maybe 4 hours. And it was loud. Like, the people were out there loud. And I'll tell you the story why they're loud. Like, the clubs don't close over there. So we're going to work and people are coming out the club. But I'm just thinking it's like chaos going on. So, like, I'm nervous. Like, straight up, I'm like, yo, what did I get myself into?
Right, right.
So that lasted for about 2 days. And then I went out to a bar out there. And I went out there, man, they was playing like Kanye West and Rick Ross. And I was like, oh, it's going down. You know what I'm saying? And right. It went from being like, oh, I'm in this third world country and, you know, it's different, to being like, man, I'm norm. Like, I'm going to be norm everywhere. And literally within a matter of a month of being there, like, I knew everybody. I was around the way. I was going to parties. We standing on top. People don't believe this, but we standing on top of tables. We're popping bottles in Africa. Like, and we're bugging out. We're laughing because the cost of living is different. You know, our American dollars go a long way over there. Right. So, like, I might go to clubs, pay $40, $40 US. But that's 40,000 mil franc. That's their money.
Right.
So, you know, it looks crazy. Like, and I was just, after a while, I was just like, being here. You know you're in a third world country the whole time, but, you know, what they say, it's not where you're from, it's where you at.
Right.
And that's just what you get into. And I will say it was other Americans there that I worked with. It was probably like 20 of us total. And I say about 6 to 8 of us hung out pretty tough. We were all about the same age, younger guys. And we had a ball, man. Like, some of the stories is crazy. I don't even know where I could go with some of the stories on this podcast. Like, I keep it somewhat clean, but it's crazy over there. Like,
so
beautiful women, the people is nice. Like, it's a beautiful, it's on the beach. That's what people don't understand. I walked on my back door onto the Atlantic Ocean. Like,
okay.
Yeah. The westernmost, on my resort I stayed on is the westernmost tip of Africa. It's a sign that says Miami X amount of miles. So I was on a resort, basically.
Like, right, right. You know, so, I mean? So from your surrounding perspective, you know, you didn't necessarily, I mean, you talked about the slums and you mm-hmm. talked about that aspect of it, but you had reasonable accommodations, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, mind you, this is third world reasonable right. accommodations. Like, don't get it twisted. I wasn't living like I was living here. Like, you know, the power, we lived in this one neighborhood, the power's out 9 to 12 hours a day. And we didn't have a generator. It's just stuff you got to deal with, you know.
So what did it do to you? Like, think, like,
I tell you the biggest thing it did to me. This is what it made me appreciate this. This is what I seen. You know how back here in the States, man, we let little stuff bother us. I used to walk to work every day, and it was these older ladies out there, and like they'll start off in the morning cooking peanuts, making peanuts and making baguettes for breakfast, put little eggs and stuff on it. And every day, these people pretty much, whatever they made that day, that was how they had to eat that night. Like, they didn't know what they was going to eat that night unless they made that money. And they had a smile on their face every single day. Like, every single day. And I just, it really humbled me. Like, man, what am I getting stressed out for? But I got all this out here, and these people are getting up every day not knowing where the next meal's coming from. And they can smile every day. So that was, like, the biggest thing it did to me was just humble me and, like, yo, life is good. Like, life is good. You, a lot of people got it worse than you.
So do you think, you know, kind of just thinking about the experience and thinking about going through that stuff, I mean, to put in perspective that, you know, you can get by with very little, you know, and you know, we come back here and we think,
you got to change your whole mindset. That part I didn't get. Like, I lived the way I lived,
right?
You know, but I did understand, like, you know, I tell you the biggest things, cell phones. I had a little burner phone over there, and I wasn't texting all day. Like, nothing. All you could do was make a phone call, put some minutes on it, and we're so connected to our phones and our electronics now. Like,
right.
You realize you don't need that. And over there, I got to see things, got to actually watch people moving around, and that part was cool. Like, then I get back to the States, and I get right back to the, you know, you go to the bar. I got headphones on at the bar half the time here. Like, you're so isolated. But over there, you had to deal with people.
Right.
So that's the part, like, I do miss about being there. It was real pure. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it was, oh, I don't even know where I could go with these stories.
Well, like, let's go. Let's go with the story. Give me one.
All right, I'm over there. For example, I'm going to give you a perfect example. I'm a black guy. White guys over there. Black women love them. They love white men. You know what I'm saying? So I was, some of my coworkers, some white guys, young dudes, you know, they from Pittsburgh and they regular cats, you know what right. I mean? But they just had these things, you know, these black girls is all over them. So there's one situation where we're at a bar, you know, so I'm not gonna say his name, but this is my brother for life. We're at a bar and the girls are like, you know, buy me a drink. And he sits there and he looks at them and we're laughing, whatever. He's like, watch this. So he tells the bartender, he's like, bartender, let me get two vodka and Red Bulls. One for me. It's six girls telling him to buy him a drink. And he buys one drink for the six girls, and they, like, pass it around like a chalice or something. You know what I'm saying? And we're just sitting there bugging like, yo. Yo. But, I mean, it's just crazy, man. Like, you know, it's some fun times over there, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? The way he said it, bartender, one for me and one for the ladies. And it was just crazy, man. Shout out to my brother, man. He definitely going to listen to this podcast. I'm not going to say his name, though, but so, that's my brother.
So let me ask you, you know, the whole bar scene. You know, what was it like in comparison to maybe some of the... Now, I'm not saying your top-notch spots that I know you go to. I know. Your
clubs are way better than ours.
Oh, so tell me.
My fault. The discotheque, that's what they're called. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So you got to understand, Senegal was owned by the French forever.
Okay.
So it has a real European French influence. A lot of French people there. So partying is, they party. Like, it's no, the clubs don't close until everybody leaves. If it's 7, 8 in the morning, the party's still going on. Like, they dancing, they love 80s music. Oh, my God, you be in heaven over there. Like, they love 80s music. Like, you know, the real sappy Pat Benatars and all that. Like, they love it. You know, Phil Collins is God. You know what I'm saying? But they party, man. Like, they party. And they have a good time, man. Literally, let me tell you what's crazy. I didn't see one cop the whole time I was over there.
Really?
Never see the cop.
Let me ask you, did you see any fights break out at the spots?
Between girls, little shoving, but no. And nah, these are some big guys, you know, like Akon's from Senegal.
Right.
And I mean, they look, you know, these wiry, strong West Africans. Like, West Africans are strong. But I ain't see no drama. Like,
right.
They come in there to have a good time. And they had a good time. Like,
so, obviously, you had to increase your party endurance, right?
I chilled. I couldn't do, like, when I first got there, I did it real heavy, But then it was like, nah, I can't do this. Like, they go hard. Like, I wasn't built for it.
So like, it's interesting that, you know, being, you know, I guess them not necessarily having anything to compare it to, you know, I think maybe some of them, the natives at least, maybe were in some of the situations where they didn't know what they were going to eat that night, but yet you're telling me they're rejoicing at a party or at a club, like they got no care in the world.
Listen, all the time, like that's they let go, like we getting out here, we having a good time. Like there's parties that just break out in the middle of the streets with the dancing and like music is real big over there. And you'd be surprised, they love the same music we love. Like Rick Ross was God over there. Like he had did a show, I guess, about a month before I got there, you know, 40,000 people out at one of their stadiums. So, like, I had a big beard when I was over there. They used to call me, like, yo, Brother Ross. Brother Ross. Like, Rick Ross is, he said it in one of the songs. He said, feds get involved, I'm sliding off to Senegal. And they would play that record. Oh, and, like, DJ was up. That. I'm like, Africa, dog. Africa. West dog. Africa, yo. You
know what I'm saying? Like, nah.
Yeah, Africa, man. But it wasn't like I remember saying, like, yo, I'm going to go see, like, you know, the zebras and the giraffes. And it was like, you better go to the zoo. Like, you
know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, see, because, you know, we as Americans only see what – we only know of what we see on TV. And to your point earlier about Texas and San Antonio specifically, mm-hmm. not having a direct tie to the city, you assumed it was cowboy boots. And so I think it was – so let me ask you, at what point – you know, what day, you know, was there a defining moment where you thought to yourself, my preconceived notions are out the window. Man, this, like your guard was let down.
No, I tell you, it was the first time I went out. It was like my third or fourth day. Like my buddy took me out. It was a Friday and I'm in the club. And like, I'm even in the club nervous at first. Like, I'm like.
Right, because you're thinking of Belly and you're thinking of Lennox.
Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, you know, and by the end of the night, I'm standing in front of the club drunk. And I'm yelling, yo, dog, I love Senegal. You know what I'm saying? Like, the locals is around there. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, and they really embraced me. Like, I can go anywhere in the neighborhoods we was in. Like, they had some other neighborhoods where I wouldn't go. But the neighborhoods we was in, I go anywhere, man. Like, I met a dude from Morocco over there that owned a restaurant. Go up there, uses Wi-Fi and stuff, you know. Eat for free. We had another little spot, Katina's, I think it was called. Go over there, eat. Like, they treated us like, I ain't gonna say kings, but they treated us nice, man. They like Americans.
When you're paying them with the
Because they know we got money. Yeah. Like, and you know, we not spending to us,
right?
You know, if I spend $50 a day compared to what I'm making, that's nothing. But right. to them, it's like they might make $50 for the month.
Yeah.
So.
So obviously it was a great experience personally and professionally, because I know you. I mean, one of the motives, as you mentioned earlier, was the money. So that let me ask you, what were the hardest parts about
missing my family? Like, okay, that's I'm gonna be honest. Like, missing my family, that was definitely the hardest part. Like I said, you know, you do get lonely. Like, it's certain things. Like, it was this one bowling alley that was kind of similar to an American style. Like, their mall was very similar to like La Quintera.
Okay,
it's super expensive too, but you. You think it's poor. It's either rich or poor there. Like, you see 17-year-old kids with Audi trucks and this, that, a third. You know, Levi's cost $180 there. Oof. The imports. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
Even our liquor, our, you know, Hennessy or whatever, it's $100-something for a bottle over there. But anyways, it had this one bowling alley, and it was really like being in a regular American bowling alley. So we would go there just to get that feel like they had regular American hamburgers. Like, the hamburgers are different.
Okay.
So there they had like a regular burger and chicken wings. So we would go every couple weeks, like, man, we just need that.
Yeah, that feel.
That feel of home. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, yeah, missing family, it is what it is. Like,
how many months were you out there? What, eight?
Seven and some change. Okay. Like, yeah, in between seven or 8 months.
That's a long time. Did you come back during the duration? You just stayed straight out there?
The whole time. And my other buddies, they stayed for a year. They did a whole year over there. So, I mean, I had one buddy, he did 18 months.
Oof.
But he was also, you know, he had some nice little girlfriends and stuff.
Oh,
you know?
Well, yeah, that always helps, yeah, obviously.
You know, we had a little girl from Ivory Coast, you know what I'm saying? A flight attendant, she was bad, you know what I'm saying? Oh, that's another thing, too. Anybody from West Africa, those other countries, Dakar is the hub of that. So you meet girls from, like, or people, period, from Congo, from Mali, from... Burkina Faso, you know, all these other countries, they all try to make their way to Senegal.
Interesting.
So it's like the New York City or something.
Right. So let me ask you, is that job opportunity open still for you anytime you want to punch it? Or?
Yeah. Not to Senegal anymore, but that opportunity. I actually almost went to China in August.
Okay.
But it was some little discrepancies. But, it's always open. I can go travel the world anytime I want.
Oh, that's slick. So you come back to the States after being gone for about 7 months. I'm pretty sure you were in the loop. What was the one thing that surprised you when you came back to the States that maybe you didn't hear about or you just weren't in the know about?
Nothing really, man, with technology. Like,
yeah, you can keep up.
I had a Slingbox. Yeah. Like, I watched the games as, you know, it's a different time, but I watched the NBA Finals over there. Like, I bought Skype with my boys while the stuff. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I didn't really – you miss food. Miss certain foods.
What was the first thing you ate when you touched down? Did you touch down here or did you touch down in Florida?
No, I touched down actually in D.C.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, it was disgusting too. It's no fast food over there, right?
Okay.
But I get back here, what I want fast food.
Right.
With the McDonald's and almost threw it up, basically.
Okay, so that's a good point because, you know, I had something similar happen to me yesterday. But so you're saying when you were in the Senegal, it was all pretty much, you know, diet is...
Yeah, a lot of seafood,
It's relatively healthy.
Yeah, chickens are small. Right. Like you know, old chickens aren't looking like they're HEB.
Carnage, yeah, those hands. Yeah. So you didn't... Your body had already kind of cleaned itself out, so to speak. Come back, first thing you wanted some fast food. And,
We used to be over there, see the commercial on TV, like, oh, yo, we got, what, a 20-piece nugget. Man, I eat like four nuggets and literally sick to my stomach. You know, it was like, oh, this is terrible. So that was cool. That part was pretty cool. Like,
what was the first thing you bought when you came down, when you came back?
All right, it wasn't the first thing I brought. The first thing I spent money on besides my daughter and stuff like that was, I'm going to tell you what I wanted. I wanted to go to a strip club.
Okay.
That was my... I needed to go to a nice strip club.
You're a connoisseur.
Yeah, I'm a connoisseur. There's no strip clubs over there.
And let me for the fans out there, No, 2411 isn't your hole in the wall attendee. He goes to gentlemen's clubs, actual gentlemen's clubs. He's a connoisseur, so I can understand wanting to come back and going and getting that.
And I'm not with the sleaze ball. And I'm gonna tell you, I tell people all the time, like I tell girls, anybody, I go to strip club honestly because I don't like going to the club. But I like listening to music.
Right.
I like drinking.
Right.
But I don't like being in a club atmosphere. So where could I go and sit down, hear good music, have drinks with my friends, talk, crack jokes, and see beautiful women? Like,
yeah.
I'd rather go to the strip club than push around a typical club. So I'm going to go to the nicer strip club. So that was about it, man. I didn't really spend no money. Went straight back into music, basically. Right. You know, a lot of music stuff.
Came down, the bank account was looking real nice.
Bank account was hefty. It was hefty. Your keyword was hefty. That was like a year or some change ago. But I'll tell you this, but I didn't work a typical 9-to-5 for a year after. So.
Well, it bought you some time to kind of spend time with your family. Yep. Kind of give you an eye-opening experience to just how life can be, you know, kind of.
And that was the point of it, too. The whole point of it was, you know, I was in the military for a while. You know, he's always on the clock. It was to the point where, listen, I can get up and go when I want to go, and I can do what I want to do.
And, you know, one of the things that I found, you know, and for my personal story, getting out of debt and having disposable income at this point, it buys you time. Yeah. It buys you time to think.
Yes.
It really does, because when you're a slave to debt, you don't have time to think. All you're doing is taking from one hand to pay for another bill, you know, so... When you're out of debt and when you have that money, that disposable income, you really start thinking about, do I really need this? Do I really need that? And it's an eye-opening
experience. Funny you said that. I'm not giving my whole situation, but I've always lived in a house, big houses, this, that, a third. Like, I live in an apartment now. Like, that stuff's not important to me anymore.
Right.
Like, it's things that I thought was important, like even cars and stuff. It's not important to me anymore. Right. Like, traveling is more important to me now. Providing, making sure my daughter's life is gravy, making sure my family's good to go. Like, that's what's important to me now. All the other stuff is really, I don't care about, you know, I still like nice things.
But
it's just.
You're not as, that doesn't drive you as much.
Nah.
I used to
like work to get a pair of sneakers. Like, I want to go buy those sneakers. So I got to work hard to get, like, now. the conversations I have with me and my crew was like, yo, every 2 months we got to go take a crazy trip. Like,
right, right.
That's what's important to me.
Well, and you know, the funny thing about myself as well, I'm kind of in the same boat as you, is, you know, I started to think about traveling. So what I'll do once a quarter is I'll just book a flight and I'll figure it out when I get there.
Yeah.
Because what it does is it gives me an opportunity to really just think and test my cunning to see if I can make it out there and just have fun, you know? So I've done a couple of trips on my own. Mm-hmm. Whereas before I was very standoffish. I'm like, man, I'm not going to spend that kind of money because I need to get this. So I need to get that. So I definitely understand where you're coming from. So I see the Senegal trip as maybe not only a tremendous experience just from your own kind of enjoyment, but there's also a different perspective, not necessarily directly to the people, but it enabled you to take some time to think.
That was the big, I had plenty of time over there. Like, you know, for all that partying and stuff, you don't do that every night. I mean, it goes on every night, but you know, I stayed in basically, it was their idea of a luxury resort, but it was a 1-2 bedroom apartment by yourself, and the walls is cold. You can hear yourself talking. You know what I'm saying? So you do get a lot of time to reflect and figure out what you're going to do when you get back. But it was cool, man. It was a great trip, man. No regrets. It just opened the world up. You see, all I'm concerned with now is stamps. Stamps in my passport. That's
right,
my concern now. Like, this world is huge. I tell anybody, man, if you got a chance to get out, man, you'd be so surprised, man. This the guys I was over there with, they lived in Colombia and the Ukraine and London and Madagascar and Ethiopia. Like, what? And these dudes is early 30s, maybe late 20s, lived in 9 different countries. Every year they just come home for 2 months and go back out to another country. And we worried about what's going on the north side of San Antonio.
So, you know, you have your own management company.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very exclusive to a few acts or one.
No. It's two. I would say it's two. I have some very, very close affiliates who anything they need, I got them, basically. Right. You know, but I wouldn't say they're signed to me.
That was before the whole Senegal trip.
Yeah. That's
you've been doing this for years.
Yeah. You know? I started off, you know, a bunch of acts and then consolidated down. And so, even now it's to the point where, you know, I like to think that the artists that are with me, like, they manage themselves almost to a point now. I'm like the big homie now, which is cool. Like, I like it like that. You know what I'm saying? Put invested a lot of time into getting them to that point.
You know, right, because it is a growth period. I mean, you have to kind of take them from being very, new to whatever experience they're going through to having them on their own. So what do you think drove you towards the management side of entertainment instead of, you know, being up front and...
It's what I'm saying now is going to go to our last question we talked about. Like helping people, man. Seeing people win is... like, and it's to my detriment sometimes. You know, I get told that a lot. Like, you got to focus on yourself and not everybody else. But right. I want to see other people succeed. Like, you know how somebody's like, I want to help the world?
Right.
If I can help 2-3 people change their life, I'm good.
Like, right.
I feel like my goal, whatever I was put on earth to do, is good. So I just always wanted to help people. And I love music, so...
put them together.
Yeah,
why not? Funny thing that you mentioned that is because, you know, for me personally, it's that same feeling of helping people and seeing them kind of grow. I don't know if it's because we're getting older, but the more people I'm meeting and the more people I talk to, and this is probably the reason why I really wanted you to come to the show is because there is a fulfillment that seeing someone grow or helping someone achieve something bigger than themselves.
Yes.
That's a fulfilling that... no check can...
no, it's nothing. There's nothing in the world that can...
because you were a part of that, man, and that's nothing... nobody can take that away about
like I know it's certain people I've dealt with that, you know, if I wasn't in their life, that I don't know where they would have been in life.
Right.
And that's not a... that's nothing. That's, that's even...
well, that was guidance. You're providing the guidance for them to kind of, you know, stay straight as much as possible.
That makes me feel good as a person. Like, at the end of the day, for all the flashy, all this, all the strippers, and instead of third, like... genuinely, I want to help people.
Right.
You know, that's what I feel like I'm put here to do.
So that's what you're at, you know, and that's where you've kind of, you know, my question that I'll ask, that I've asked all my guests is, you know, if there was a profession you could do, and it sounds like you're doing it. It sounds through your management, you know, you're kind helping guide some of the folks into it.
I would like to dig a little deeper into that. I'll let you finish your question.
No, go ahead.
All right, well, I'll say this. Let me a quick story, and I'll explain to you why this would be my dream job. Well, two dream jobs. My first dream job would be to be a radio personality, believe it or not.
Right.
Because
right.
I did that when I was in high school for a little while. But there's always programs for A students, right? And there's always programs for the bad kids.
Yeah.
There's never programs for the good. C students.
No, this is good. Yep.
And me, I was the C student. Yep. Like, might get a few B's here, maybe one D here, right. But I was the middle of the pack kid that was very close to going to either side of the fence, whether good or bad. And there was this community center around my way where we used to go to. And we played basketball in there, and it was in the hood. But the guy that ran it, Coach Anderson, shout him out, you know what I mean, Eddie Anderson, he let us be what was going on the streets. For example, we played dice out in the streets, right? We played dice in there, but we played for push-ups. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
They played cards outside. We played cards in here. They had a dance studio in the community center. It's girls. We played basketball, played cards, deal with girls, but we were in a controlled environment.
Right.
And I really felt like that's what allowed me to be successful, because somebody took the time to change my direction. So saying that, if I had the money, if I could make the salary I want, I would want to take those kids, those middle of the pack kids,
right,
and show them that you can be great without being corny. Because that was the pressure that I had as a kid. Right. Like, you're a nerd.
Absolutely.
You're a nerd. Or, yeah, that's a goal. So, you know what I mean? Like, it was always, nah, you could be the regular cat and still get it popular. You can get the girls. You can get money and stay out of trouble. So that would be, if I could just do anything in the world, be to open up a community center, to pull these kids in there and show them, I'm not going to say a different way, my way.
Right.
Doing things. That's what I would love to do.
Well, and I think that's, the strongest part of that story, in my opinion, is you're absolutely right. There's programs for top-notch kids. There's programs for kids that just don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this middle-of-the-pack group, to your point, which are on the fence. But then there's also those people who, you know, I'll put myself in this category as a youth that I'm smart, but I didn't want to work for anything. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? I needed somebody to show me, or at least someone to look at and say, man, I could take my wit, I could take my cunning,
yep,
and that's what I could be.
And apply it to something that's cool.
I want
to
do.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and my, you know, for those people who know me, you know, I'll be honest, I think, you know, you probably share the same sentiment. If you surround yourself with like type personalities, not necessarily the same interests, mm-hmm. but like type personalities, it kind of deters you from a lot of that lifestyle. Like for me, yep. You know, my biggest retreat, and people will laugh, mm-hmm. was wrestling.
No, that's sweet. Listen, we used to call ourselves that. We was NWA Red, NWO Red, like that was crews. Yeah. Like,
you know, it's like you get so addicted. Yeah. You know, I was so into wrestling. I was so into hip hop. I was so into video games,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that was my kind of set other path to keep yep. me off of that. However, to your point, what if there was a community center that not only provided that environment, but gave you those leaders or gave you those role models to say, hey, let me tell you a little bit about how you can survive in the business world
yep.
or relationship-wise from a professional perspective on how you can win
yep.
by using what you're good at
yes.
and doing something you want to do.
And I'll tell you what's crazy. You said that, like, my community center was so cool. Like, first time I went to Madison Square Garden with them. You know what I'm saying? This is back, my coach, the basketball coach, knew Mark Jackson when he played for the Knicks. Madison Square Garden, Rutgers Park. But on the flip side of that, first of all, I went to a play.
Right.
Where I ended up meeting a beautiful female at the play. Like, what I'm doing at the play?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, it is stuff like in the, I'm not going to say the hood because I don't want to say the hood, but as kids, we don't know
right.
that this, like, the play, I ain't going to the play. Like, nah, it was dope. Like, it was dope. Like, oh, it's funny. It's this, that, a third. Like, going to art museums and all these things that are out there that we think is corny. And it's really not.
Right.
It's just nobody's took you there. You were forced to do that.
So, you know, we actually didn't talk about this. And I'm glad we're talking about it now, because I want to bring up something really quick. And then we'll go into our last question. But your thoughts on, like, let's take the play reference that you're mm-hmm. making. Your thoughts on how they tried to add elements of the inner city into plays to attract, you know, they try to sell yeah. it as, you know, let's take kids from the inner city or kids that are not used to this Shakespearean art, mm-hmm. and let's, I don't want to say dumb it down. Let's hip-hop it out so that way they can be exposed to this craft or art. Your thoughts on that kind of approach to try to attract inner city kids to do stuff like that?
I'm not going to say it's wrong because it works for the minority.
Right.
There are some kids. But at the same time, if I'm from an environment, it's like you're making a mockery of it.
Absolutely.
So, like, me going to see this play, like, that's not my environment. Like, I don't talk like that.
Right.
It's not, yo, 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 what's up? Like, and I'm from that element. So, nah, like, I know my mother and father. Like, you know, this, that, and third. Yeah, I lived in the hood, this, that, but I still had. So, when you go all the way there, that's not the neighborhood that I'm from.
Right.
So, you're kind of making a mockery out of it. Like, do you. Be genuine. Whatever you do, have integrity to it. And if you got integrity, you're genuine with it, I think that pushes kids to it. But the whole, I know exactly what you talk about. Unless it's a hip-hop play.
Right,
like,
right.
You got to go all the way there. If you're going to make it that.
It's got to go, yeah.
Because kids is not stupid. Like,
right.
Just people in general.
And it actually does the adverse effect. It becomes even more corny.
Yep.
And it turns them off to the art. So my advice, you know, for anybody out there, and this is something that we'll probably talk about at greater length on one of our future shows, but you have to find the inspiration and you have to be able to filter what you're hearing and have it apply to you. So, for instance, we talk about these plays. You know, there are a lot of situations where I'm in things I have nothing. I know nothing about art is a mm-hmm. primary example. Yep. However, when the owner of that artwork is explaining the story of how that art came about, yep. I automatically go into translation mode on how
yes.
something in my life was similar, because as humans, we go through the same emotions, usually the same relative stories. And what it does at that point is it allows me to respond from a place that I'm comfortable yes. from responding. And I don't feel like I'm stupid because I can't speak on that level. In fact, I can, but I can use my own words to which the other person and I are on that same level. No, so
it's funny you said it, because even the play I went to, it, I think it was about, or this might have been another one, it was about, I think it was in the 40s, around whatever the atom bomb dropped, 30s.
Right.
But it was about that, right after that period, and a bomb dropped, you know. So this is, the whole play is set in the 40s, whatever, and they're living in a bunker. And all that, you know, I don't care, whatever. Yeah. But me and my friends are like, yo, that'd be crazy. Imagine
right.
if that happened right now.
Yeah.
And we're turning it into our thing, like, yeah. yo, what CDs would you bring? Or what? But
yeah.
we appreciated it because it was that genuine. Just like you said, I was able to, once I seen the story, it was like, oh, I could put myself in that place of how I would have reacted coming from my world, so to speak. And that made it cool again.
Right.
And people don't, I don't know if they don't, even like Shakespeare and all that, like.
If you break it down.
It's the same thing.
If you break it down, it's modern.
Yeah, it's, oh, so what, the art thou's in this, but.
Right.
The story is
the story same. Is a story.
The story is the same.
The language may be different, but the story of betrayal, you know, yep. The murder. And
Shakespeare's The Wire or whatever else you like.
It's, right. It's absolutely. And I think a good story is a good story,
a
period.
A good story is a good story, no matter what, where it's being told from.
Well, you know, I want to thank you for joining me definitely. On, you know, on this episode. It's definitely a new endeavor that I'm trying. And I wanted to bring you in because I know where your head's at. I know mm-hmm. where you're at from an experiences perspective. And we're really trying, in my own way, to similar to your goal, is really trying to help people discover what they really want to do in life. You know, my goal at the end of the day, you know, it used to be, you know, I'm going to push that 9/11. So let me start with this box, you know.
Yeah.
My goal at that now is, and it's simple, and the people who subscribe will hear this story on it over and over, is I want to wake up in the morning and have total control of what my day is.
Yes. Oh, my God, bro.
That's what I want. To me, that's success.
That's
when you
life.
Can say, you know what? I want to do these three appointments. I want to record these two podcasts. I want to pick up my son from school.
Yep,
I want to go
to
the park and play
time.
Ball.
I want to eat dinner here.
And that level of control is, I think, true freedom.
Yes.
Because this is the best country in the entire planet.
I agree.
However, you've got to be able to make it work for you.
Yep.
And you've got to be able to really, truly live free within the confines of what the legal system
will
tell you.
Yeah, of course, of course. I mean,
however,
breaking the law is breaking the law. Like,
so, we're gonna take a break and play a quick song. I'll come back and I'm going to challenge all of the listeners out there to what we talked about earlier in the intro. And it's time. It's challenge time. You know, every podcast, you know what we do. We talk about something in the beginning, something a little bit motivational, something a little more inspirational. And then at the end, I put it on you. And it's up to you, starting on that Monday, when you wake up, what are you eliminating and what are you adding from a positive perspective? Yeah. So I want to thank 2411. How thank can you. People thank reach you, out brother. To you?
Hit me on Twitter. I'm on there. I'm not on there as much because I'm back in the corporate America. But at Mr. 2411, where else? You know, you can get me on Facebook too. Just type in 2411 management and you'll find me. But shout out to Tornado Money and all the good people out here. I'm going to see y'all soon, man. I'll be back in a couple
weeks. We'll bring you back. We're definitely back. All right, guys. We're going to kick it to this song and we'll be right back.
I done it the way I run it. I hasn't sit to their stomach. Yeah. Ain't nothing the girls, they still love it. Like salt and pepper, they call it bread and a push it. Yo, yeah, the block I used to hug it. I still do, but you don't see me cause I'm above it. Top floor, top jaw, like my stuff is. The flow so hot that even hammer couldn't touch it. Your boy came back to eat the cream and the cookies.
Well, there you have it. Mr. 2411 joined us, and it was a great interview. It went a little longer than our usual interviews. I think this one around 35, 40 minutes. But hopefully you received some information. You got some perspective on what the show's all about, and it's everyday people. I mean, Norm's very different than Jeeves was the previous, and obviously they're both different than my son was from episode one, and that's what we're trying to do is give you a little bit something different every week. People from different walks of life, people doing things differently, people with different perspectives, all with one intent, and that's to be better, you know, today than we were yesterday. So my challenge to you, as I mentioned in the interview, is, you know, what are you going to do this week for yourself? Think about it. You know, if you need that 5 minutes before you pull in the office, if you need that 5 minutes before you pull in the home, if you need that 5 minutes before you take the kids to school, whatever you need to think about it, maybe, you know, this morning or this afternoon, think about what you can do to make yourself, what you can be selfish for. And I think, you know, let's start thinking about that word in a different light, because selfish, like I mentioned, is often deemed as a negative word. And I think it can be a very positive word if used correctly. So, that being said, it's plug time and what we've got going on. We'll be dropping Fantasy Football Geeks hopefully every Saturday morning from the Florissant Division Podcast Network. Everyday People, the schedule, guys, I think I'm going to be dropping this every Monday morning. I'll prep it Sunday night and get you going on Monday morning's drive to work or just how you're starting your week out. This week is Thanksgiving, so if you celebrate, I want to wish everybody a Thanksgiving, which is kind of awkward coming for me, but I figure that's the right thing to do at this point. Secondly, some plugs, guys. If you haven't followed me on Twitter, please do. It's at Tornado Money. It's TORNADOMONEY. If you want to email me because you have questions or you know somebody who'd be a great person to interview for the show who has a great story, you can do that at floresanddivision@gmail.com. That's floresanddivision@gmail.com. We're always looking for interesting and new people to talk to and share their stories with. Now, from a plug perspective, if you followed me, as I mentioned on Twitter, you know I'm a huge mark for the weekend. And this artist continues to amaze me. His album, The Trilogy, was released last Tuesday. Two comments I want to make. One, the editors or the official iTunes review puts him in the same class as a Frank Ocean, and that could be that could be as farthest from the truth as possible because they do not sound similar. It's just they have different sounds in comparison to what's mainstream R&B these days. And I'm even reluctant to put The Weeknd in an R&B category. Is he leaning that way? I'd say yes, but this album is amazing. If you have his previous three mixtapes, that's basically what you're getting with three bonus cuts. Those three bonus cuts are worth the $9.99 you're going to spend on iTunes. So if anything, I'm not getting paid for this. This is just something that I think is an awesome project. It's an awesome album, and I think, you know, you'd be better for it by downloading it. It's a different perspective. So if you have an opportunity, go to iTunes, type in The Weeknd. It's W-E-E-K-N-D. Notice I didn't use the E after the K, so it's W-E-E-K-N-D. In your iTunes search bar, and download that album. I think it's a really good listen. You'll enjoy it. If not, whatever, then don't follow any more of the musical suggestions I give you. And also, if you're looking for a movie to check out, I would strongly recommend The Comedy with someone who I enjoy immensely from a comedic perspective and also just from an artistic perspective, Tim Heidecker. Those of you who know me know I'm a huge mark for him as well. The movie is called The Comedy. You can actually view it on iTunes as well. And also, I think it's I believe it's on video on demand. I'll be heading up to Austin to see a screening of the movie with some question and answering afterwards in Austin, Texas. So I'm excited for that. And then I want to give a shout out to my man, Harry Fraud, who we play every single show at the beginning. That instrumental was Cool Whip, produced by Harry Fraud. As my man Cameron Giles would say, you know, it's tradition. Who am I to screw it up? You know, so I think every show will start with a Harry Fraud instrumental just because I think the music is just crazy. You can follow him at Harry Fraud. You can actually visit him on his website, harryfraud.com. Through John Sparks sending me the Surf School Beach Patrol sweater, the wristbands. You know, guys, if you're interested in the wristbands, I have a ton of Harry Fraud wristbands. I'd be happy to send you one or happy to see what I can do to give you some merchandise. So if you're interested, you can send me a message via Twitter or email me. I'll be happy to give it to you absolutely free. Maybe with some Florissant Division propaganda and marketing information, if you don't mind. We have some shirts coming up through Double R. Double R is making me some shirts, so I'm very interested to see how that's coming about. Slowly but surely, guys, we're growing the podcast network into bigger and better things. I'm hoping to release some new information relatively shortly. But enjoy your week. We'll talk again next week after Thanksgiving. Hopefully you don't eat too much. I'm going to try my first vegetarian Thanksgiving dinner, so we'll see how that goes. I think I'm going to be in some interesting company. They know who they are, so that's a good thing. So enjoy your week, guys. Be safe. Be smart. Do something for yourself, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Couldn't be nothing less, you know.